This is Leafs Breakfast.
Grabbed off by the Stars again. Back to the point. Robertson closing. Blocked by Marner. Another shot. Blocked there by Sandin. Another shot blocked there by Murray. Another shot blocked by Murray. Murray down. The puck still free. Holy mackerel. They managed to keep it up.
Definitely worthy of a holy mackinaw. What happened at the end of the second period where the Dallas Stars had a 5-on-3, seemingly a million opportunities to score, and yet the Toronto Maple Leafs blocking shots and Matt Murray stopping shots, something that was consistent all night long. 44 saves for Matt Murray. Let's bring in our man, TSN hockey analyst Dave Poulin. What's up, Dave? How are you? It's not that well.
Yeah, it's not doing that great. Well. All right.
Hey, guys. Absolutely. That was my Dave Poulin impersonation, apparently. Hey, guys. I don't know why that is. So we'll get Dave on in just a moment. But I think the way that they were able to just play with such a passion last night and really demonstrate a level of commitment that is commensurate with playoff hockey. You don't see guys sacrificing themselves that often in a regular season game on a Tuesday night in Dallas. But Sandin and Marner and the way Matt Murray's flailing all over the net, I mean, it was something wild. All right, let's bring Dave in. Dave, are you with us?
I am,
there
gentlemen.
He is. There he what's is. Going about that? What's going on, Dave? Well, we're talking about... Go ahead, Dave. Sorry.
I was going to start, I think, exactly where you were, and that's with 27 block shots. Yeah. And you could start with the PK, you could start with the goaltending, you can start with the overall team defensive effort, but 13 different players with block shots. And there's a level of commitment now, guys, that we've seen at various points in the last, you know, handful of years. But this may be the longest sustained period of time we've seen it for. So there's one regulation loss in the last 18 games. Uh-huh. And there's just, you know, if I see... What lights me up is seeing a 3-foot pass to Austin Matthews below the defensive goal line and John Tavares below the defensive goal line and helping this defense core out. And not only is it under man, but then they go down a man, you know, a few minutes into the game and they're down to 5. And one of them is Connor Timmins, who's brand new. And you can't say enough about the group and the way they're doing it as a whole. This is the best team defense that this team has played. Now, they've played it in stretches before, but for a long period of time, 17, 18 games, this is the best team defense that this team has played.
Now, looking at Matt Murray, he was outstanding last night, 44 saves. And I'm just looking right now, he made 17 saves on the power play. Like that's, you know, you're 7-for-7 on the penalty kill. And you talked about team defense, Pooley. Is this a product of Matt Murray finding his game, or is this a product of Matt Murray playing in a team that's playing strong defense?
I think it's a combination of the two. I do think Matt Murray is finding his game. His lateral movement was really good last night again. but I think as a whole, the team is playing well in front of him. So those two things have to go hand in hand. You have the confidence as a team to know that you're going to get a save, but you're also going to lay it out. And that sequence at the end that that Bonesy does is just great because, you know, the inflections in his voice in the last minute, you know, you'd think the team was on a power play scoring goals and it's all defense-oriented for Bonesy. And it's just great because it's a full commitment. And so I think it's a combination of the two, but you have to look at the goaltending as a whole. And you have to give Eric Schalgren some love because he's still played more games in net than anybody has this year. Mm-hmm. And you know, and now as the Leafs get up in the true upper echelon of goals against in the league, it's impressive to see what they've done with two of their three guys being hurt this year. And you know, he held it together pretty well at a critical moment. And you know, and now Murray's back; he looks healthy. Now the key thing will be to find this rotation. Like, how is it going to rotate out, and who's going to thrive? And because you've got two guys now who both will want and should want the net. But how is it going to play out? You know, what are the pieces going to be? How is it going to fit? You're third in the league in goals against average, and you've played three different guys an exact equal amount of time. Well, now it's down to two, and what a great option for Sheldon Keefe to say, okay, you know, this guy plays well against this team, or this guy's good in this situation, or in this building, or whatever it may be. That's quite a luxury that the Leafs haven't had in a while.
Dave, is it premature to say that Kyle Dubas's goaltender gamble in the offseason has paid off?
Well, it has. We're still 25 games into the year. And, you know, and with Matt Murray in particular, Samsonov, a little bit different in that, you know, this was still going to be a project. And, you know, that rolled the dice a little more. So Matt Murray was injury-related, guys. We've seen him play well. You know, he's won two cups, but we've seen him play well through segments. He played this well in Ottawa through segments of four or five or six games.
Yeah.
And that's got to stretch out. We watched it happen when we would say, okay, Matt Murray is clearly back, but it wasn't sustained. And it wasn't behind this good of a hockey club either. And, you know, now he's playing behind the third best defensive team in the league from a goals against standpoint, and it's playing in a very structured manner.
Pooley, you worked in management. In management right now, with looking at this team through, you know, their lenses, you're obviously pleased with the growth that you've seen with some of your young players, especially on defense, with Sandin and Liljegren. And if you're still in management when everybody's healthy, are you still... You know, are you still, you know, working under a sense of urgency to go and improve this defense? Or are you happy with, you know, the way it's structured out after this with Brody and Riley as a pair, Giordano and Hall as a pair, and Sandin and Liljegren to round out the top six?
Well, I think they're proving that they demand that. That's what you want. I mean, Sandin and Liljegren were really good last night.
Really good.
They were really good, and they were good as a pair. They played big minutes. And, you know, ideal if they're playing 23 and 25 minutes last night, you know, are they better at 17 or 18? Maybe. Maybe they thrive on that much time, and it'll be allotting those minutes. But, you know, it's not up to the management to prove it. It's up to the players to prove it. And it's the players that are saying now, you know, we're in this role. This is the role we're comfortable in, and we're going to sustain it. And certainly when you plug in, you know, two guys, and the thing about, you know, losing a guy like Morgan Riley for as long as you did, when those guys come back in, they give you such an injection. You know, I always feared teams that had key guys out during the season because they'd come back and they were fresh and they were energized. And now they're absorbing, you know, what if you were to come back and absorb, say, 18 minutes and you're just slicing a little bit, like you have to slice them off of Mark Giordano, guys. You have to, as well as he's playing. You know, at 39 years old, that those are just big numbers. And man, is he playing well.
Well,
he's doing the simple things in the game so well. So you are fine if you plug, you know, Brody and Morgan Riley back in, and this group continues to play like they are. They've got to play it in whatever role that they fit into when those two guys come back in.
Well, Pooley, I mean, you talked about Giordano. You know, obviously the big question mark is the status of Jake Muzzin. Will he ever play again? What will the replacement be for him? Isn't the best option to replace him internal with Mark Giordano and what he's shown you that he could do with an elevated role?
Well, it is for sure. But, you know, you once again, just respectfully, at that age, the minutes are too big right now. Now they're too big because they have to be right now. And during the portion of the season, if he can give you that, what a luxury. But knocking him back to 16 or 17 minutes, and he'd tell you, no, I'm better at 23. That's just a lot. There's a cumulative effect to this. We're 25 games into the season, guys. And, you know, and he's had this role now for an increased number of games as those two key guys have been out. But for anyone to sustain that, you know, let alone someone that age, would be just remarkable.
Our guest is TSN hockey analyst Dave Poulin. Dave, of course, in Dallas last night, it was Mitch Marner's point streak against Jason Robertson's point streak. That was a focal point for hockey fans. But also in Seattle, we were eagerly anticipating Shane Wright getting called up for the Kraken, of course, against the team that passed on him and opted to draft Juraj Slafkovský, number one overall. Wright scores last night, his first NHL goal. Ultimately, Seattle loses, but when you see how Shane Wright comes up, performs, I think he was playing on a line with Yanni Gordon and Bjorkstrand, so he was getting a legitimate opportunity from Seattle. How do you think Seattle should proceed with Wright? Do you think they should lend him to the Canadian team of the World Juniors, and how do you think it plays out for him after that?
Well, he certainly got a boost of confidence going down to the American League, and he scored a couple goals and, you know, remembered he could play hockey again. I mean, this is a really good hockey player. And it seems to me the track is that he's going to the World Juniors. And that was the whole track. And what a boost of confidence to have him up and play and score his first goal before he goes. But I think that's the track, Aaron. I think that was the plan in place. Yeah, to go get him some confidence and come back up and play. And, you know, that team's been on such a roll that helps too. You know, when things are going well, it's easy to make decisions like that.
Yeah, no, I said it to Aka early. It's amazing how the hockey gods play out, right? I mean,
well, I think it was supposed to be a plan in place for Seattle.
It was. It was an absolute plan in place when they sent him down to Coachella to come back and play one game. Again, I mean, ironically, it was against his, you know, the Montreal Canadiens. I almost said former team because
we thought he was on Montreal.
It's his former team, but clearly it's not. And then just how everything lines up, you know, he scores his first NHL goal against a team he probably should have been drafted to. Love the hockey god moment there.
You know, a sunshine moment too, guys. Like, you know, the farm team being in Coachella Valley is like, Seattle's a beautiful city, but Coachella Valley right now in early December, I think it'd be pretty nice.
Yeah.
And I remember when Cleveland had a bad team in the American League in baseball, their minor league team was in Hawaii, their AAA team.
What?
Nice. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Send me down, please.
That's exactly what it was. You know, when a bad team in the majors or the AAA team was in Hawaii. So Coachella Valley would be a pretty nice place to go for 2 weeks to get your game back.
It's always weird when your minor league team's in a better spot than your pro team.
Yeah.
Better spot. Hawaii? Yeah, Hawaii. Like that seems kind of counterintuitive. That's a pretty long trip from Cleveland to Hawaii.
Yeah. No kidding. Don't call me up. Yeah. Actually, you know what? My groin hurts today.
God, somebody else up. Hammy's acting up. Sorry, boys.
You better be on a one-way contract, guys.
Right. No kidding. Last thing before we let you go, Pooley. Do you fear that we might be seeing a scenario that the Colorado Avalanche might not make the playoffs this year because of how decimated their lineup is becoming?
Well, I don't see it happening. I understand what you're saying. I think they get bodies back and the team is too good. The problem is in that Central Conference. I mean, you know, you got some teams playing well that you weren't. I mean, everybody.
Winnipeg's leading the division.
Well, everybody for a few years now. I mean, I've been on Winnipeg for a while. They haven't done it. Minnesota's having a better year than I thought they were going to have this year. Dallas is right back. Dallas is the recipient, I think, of a team that's had a couple of good coaches in a row, guys. And, you know, they've gone from Rick Bonus to Pete DeBoer. And there's teams like that around the league. I think Boston's like that. They've gone two good coaches in a row. And I think Dallas is like that. You know, Dallas is like that. And Las Vegas, you know, going from the coaches they have from Pete DeBoer to Bruce Cassidy. I think they're, you know, but no one expected Seattle to be up there. It's just what's going to happen in that Central Conference. And I don't see it. I see Colorado getting their bodies back. I think they're too good, Carlo. I really do. I think they're going to be just fine as things. You know, once again, they just got to stay the course and then get those bodies back. And then they'll have bodies that are rested with low mileage on them.
Dave, always a pleasure to have you on the show. Thank you for doing this. We'll chat with you next week.
Thanks, guys. Have a great day.
See you too. That is TSN hockey analyst Dave Poulin here on Leafs Breakfast. If you missed any of the conversation we just had with Dave, or any of our segments, hours, interviews, you can find them all podcasted on iTunes, Apple, I guess Apple is iTunes, Spotify, iHeartRadio Canada app. I get confused. There's a lot of different podcast apps, so it's hard to track. And again, we're giving away Raptors tickets with clues that lie within our podcast tomorrow. Brian Hayes will join us at 8:15, the host of Overdrive, and the Nail Gun. At 8:45. No, I know he can. Nobody can. He is covered. You can't do it as well as me, as I can. So the Buffalo Bills, Nail Gun, heading over to Buffalo today to cover. Oh,
there it is.
The Bills and the Jets this week. And we'll talk about the Tennessee Titans, who fired their GM yesterday in a very curious move.
Like, to me, that is basically a move that the owner said, I'm pissed that you traded AJ Brown.
No kidding.
And you're getting fired for it.
So we'll get into that with the Nail Gun. Hour 3 of First Up next.